The Behind the Bets podcast with Doug Kazarian is presented by DraftKings. Download the app for free today.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you. This is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on Friday, April 3rd. Undoubtedly, a different sports world we are currently living in, or lack thereof. But I wanted to reconnect with all of our listeners out there, and as you as well, Christina. How are you doing in this remote operation we have?
It's a very weird time, but, you know, I'm managing. How are you doing?
Similarly, I have not been to campus in 3 weeks. We've been able to do some daily wager digital segments. We're doing about two shows a week. And for those unaware, just go check out my Twitter feed at DougESPN. We're posting it on YouTube as well. We're doing a lot of NFL draft props next week. We're going to be talking college football season win totals. So a lot of at least familiar content coming up along those lines, because the draft is going to go on as scheduled later in April. And we're going to talk about that more on the podcast next week in terms of draft props, things like that. But coming up on this pod, David Purdom is going to join me. We're going to break down sort of exactly what's going on currently with the sports betting world, I should say, what options there are out there for bettors, and just kind of new sort of menu options that sports books are posting to try to just get some sort of entertainment dollar out there, and what this means for the future moving forward. So we'll get into that with David. But Christina, I mean, we're taping this on Skype. I mean, everyone's doing a little bit differently. I know people on SportsCenter are doing things remotely, even like NFL Live. I know there's like one person in studio. All the analysts are from home, and we have some setups with technology. We're sending things to people at home and like radio. So we're all being flexible, but it's obviously very different right now.
It is. It's a very different time. I mean, like you said, we're on Skype. Everybody is forced to work from home. I also haven't been on campus in about 3 weeks. So we're getting by.
We're getting by, but we're also very lucky in that we are still employed, and we are continuing to do our jobs as best we can. This is certainly a difficult time for many Americans. So our thoughts are with everyone out there to stay safe as we are. It's not just kind of like inconvenient times. These are scary times. And hopefully in the podcast, we will at least provide some, I don't know, distraction / entertainment / something to get you through the day. But obviously try to share some information that both David Purdom and I have about the industry. So let's get to it right now.
Stop. Hammer time.
Time now to welcome in David Purdom. Obviously, you know his work from ESPN.com, ESPN Television, ESPN Radio, all the platforms covering everything there is to know in the world of sports betting. David, certainly unique times, but also times that are worthy of a conversation. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Doug. Missing sports like everybody. I hope everybody's safe and well out there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I've been able to do some daily wager digital versions, but obviously it's just not the same. But more importantly, it's just not the same having regular sports on. I mean, gosh, you know, I don't think we'll ever complain about Titans-Jags on a Thursday night, I imagine, right?
No, never again, for sure. I mean, I watched a Texas-USC replay, and, you know, usually when I see those classic games, I'm not really into them, but I was totally focused on that game last night, just enjoying it again. So, yes, I definitely miss sports a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That was arguably the best game ever, and, you know, I remember almost every play, also being a USC fan, but I forgot that Vince Young scrambled and scored on fourth down. I knew it was late in the game and all that. I didn't realize it had come on fourth down, but let's talk about sort of the state of the sports book industry. We had the Caesars announcement yesterday that they're furloughing 90% of their workforce. Obviously, this is just a huge impact. What do we have now? 16 legal states in the U.S. with sports betting. March Madness, you had a piece on .com that referenced sort of what American gaming projected. But just overall, what kind of hit is this for the sports book world?
It's massive, Doug. I mean, we have every major casino gaming entity right now, brick and mortar shop, closed in the U.S. They're all closed, and 100% of them. And it's just a remarkable time. Now, there are some sports books that remain open, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about some of the weird things that they're offering in the popular sports, but all those things are just minuscule right now compared to what they would be expecting. You know, March Madness is arguably their biggest month of the year in Nevada. Last year, nearly $600 million in bets were made. That was an all-time record at the time. The books kept about $32 million of it, and that doesn't sound like a lot. But then you look into the overall gaming revenue in Nevada for that month, and it's over $1 billion. So that surplus of fans that come in there to enjoy March Madness, my favorite time to be in Vegas for sure. They also play those other games. They play the slots and blackjack and so forth. So the amount of hit that in Nevada alone, we're talking billions of dollars.
Yeah, no, I never thought I'd miss your updates of monthly updates of penny slots. Like I'm about with the figures, but no, in your piece, American gaming estimated $43.5 billion as in boy in economic activity generated by the casinos will be lost. And that's according to American gaming, impacting more importantly, 649,000 employees. And, you know, having lived in Las Vegas for 7 years, like I did, including throughout the 2008 economic crisis, now that was more of a financial hit for the market, but which is obviously Vegas felt it worse than any city in the U.S., but it's a three-shift town. And there are a lot of casino employees, and there are a lot of – I mean, you mentioned March Madness. It's for the entire month. The LVCVA, the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority, really talks about all the revenue that time of – generates, and then going into the NBA playoffs. And what's really unique about this, and as you very well know, David, you know, the economic crisis, what we had in 08 was definitely like an American thing, right? So we still had international travel and those tourism dollars pumped into the Vegas economy. But obviously with this global pandemic, there's no money. The entire world is being hit. And to your point, casinos being closed in your piece, 943 casinos shut down. So this is a just an enormous impact.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned the three-shift society that kind of Las Vegas is. You know, you get your casino guys who work the late shift, and then they go to the bars to support the hospitality industry. And it just – there's just a ripple effect. And that's a lot a comparison to sports betting, too. Again, you know, a lot of people – you may hear the numbers on sports betting. They may sound gigantic. But their overall impact on the overall gaming revenue for Nevada is very small, like 2% of the total gaming is referenced from sports betting. So just everything that is lost from this massive, massive hit.
Yeah, I mean, these casinos stay open Christmas, New Year's. I mean, even New Year's Day morning, I say Christmas, I say Thanksgiving as well. New Year's Day morning, even after all the people fill the strip, all those fireworks on top of all the sports books, you know, 7 a.m., it looks like nothing happened the night before. They're professionals. When it comes to just kind of turning the page and moving on, because you got obviously bowl games kicking off at 9 a.m. local time out there, and it just churns out business. I used to joke there's no locks on these doors, but now we're seeing this, and it's just – it's truly remarkable. Now, the silver lining is there are furloughs, okay? These aren't straight layoffs. The plan is that – you know, I've talked to a lot of friends out there who plan to get rehired. Now, the question is when sports returns. Some offshore books now, for what it's worth, take what you will, but – maybe July 1st is sort of the demarcation date on some props out there. So hope that's at least hopeful. Not that anyone really knows anything specifically, but maybe there's a shelf life that's relatively short, at least for some of these sports returning.
It's all about football season, right? I mean, if we get a delay in football season or if a football season is canceled, the ramifications of that, I'm not too proud to say that. It scares me. What's going to happen to the gaming industry? What's going to happen to our profession? It's all about football season right now. And the July 1st number, I think you and I talked about it. It seems like a pretty, maybe a little bit optimistic. I think I would take the over on that. But gosh, I sure hope that we get up by July. And gosh, football season would be a blessing.
Well, I highly doubt we're going to get sports in the conventional set July 1st. But obviously, those who've been reading things, we could get some unique situations with no fans, maybe isolated and sort of quarantined bubble like an Olympic Village that we see maybe in soccer. And, you know, maybe the NBA does something in Vegas of some sorts. But, yeah, I'm not expecting – I mean, look, we had, what, the U.S. Open canceled, Wimbledon, which is a July event, canceled already. So – I highly doubt sports as we knew it's going to return anytime soon in that regard. But we could see something in a very creative way. But every day we have positive news along those lines, maybe a vaccine, maybe something along those lines. We don't know what the future holds. But in the meantime, there is action at sports books, and it's been interesting to see. I mean, I've read some articles, as I'm sure you have. Table tennis in Ukraine, Russia is getting a little action. Nick Bogdanovich at William Hill talked about some of the handle. And even though you can't even watch it, David, there's people firing because there's live betting as well. And it's just kind of quick entertainment, and not that this is really like sharp money per se.
No, it is definitely quick entertainment what it is. And, you know, while ping pong has become the most popular thing at the sports books now, the overall handle on it is just, you know, is dwarfed by regular sports. So they're trying to mitigate the losses that they're facing with no NBA, no March Madness, no NHL playoffs, no start of baseball season. But the ping pong is not going to cut it. It's not going to help them through this for sure. Now, a lot of people are also betting on esports. I think we're going to talk about that. So All these different little things that people are trying to offer, there's tons of free-to-play things. There's betting on that NBA 2K tournament offshore, a lot of fantasy contests on that. Books are trying everything they can to just try to weather the storm.
But it's funny, the Westgate app, for example, doesn't even have that on. So while some books are trying to generate a little revenue, I mean, one book operator told me six figures all in one day in terms of side wagers and live betting on just the table tennis alone. Look, six figures to your point is not going to cut it. But other books are just like, we're not even bothering. Now, as the NFL draft approaches, that will return. But let's talk about the offshore world a little bit. You mentioned the simulations. And, you know, look, I'm in my 40s. You and I are not millennials or Generation Z, right? But this is now a thing. So I've had to do some research. Twitch.tv is a thing, right? And there's like separate channels, kind of like YouTube has specific channels. And what these books are doing, and they're kind of a figuring out phase as well, but basically you can simulate video games. And just, I'm just trying to dumb it down for those who really aren't familiar. Let's say you go on Xbox and you have all your controllers and you say, hey, I want to play Warriors versus the Cavs, rematch of the finals, whatever. And it's, you just kind of move your controller over to whatever team you want to control, all that. Well, if you don't move the controller, the computer's in the middle column, and you can just press play game, and they play a game. So it's like the true kind of bell curve randomness. And there's point spreads on this, and literally you can bet, and they speed it up. NBA games are like an hour or so. NFL is about an hour and a half, and different channels. There's, like to your point, there's Bet Sports Now. There's Bleacher Report. There's different channels, and different books sort of have a different appetite in terms of how much they're willing to offer with a point spread. The juice is a little higher. But it's, you can tell on these offshore books, they are expanding their menu as they're realizing there could be kind of handle to be had here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we can go a step farther. There was a push-up wager yesterday. A guy, a daily fantasy player named Jonathan Bales, well-known guy. He wagered some other daily fantasy player that he could do 2,400 push-ups in 12 hours in one day. And Action Network, our friends over there, Chad Millman and all those guys, they put it on Twitch. And people, there was like 5,000 people viewing this guy sitting there doing push-ups. And people were betting on the over-under. What did he do, 2,400? And he did it. He went over. But that just shows how people are still looking for that entertainment that they get from betting. Now, of course, when we mention this, we should be responsible about it, right? You shouldn't be betting more than you are comfortable with. And this is more randomness when you're talking about simulations and things like that than you're probably used to in the sports betting world. So people are having fun with it. Be careful with it.
Well, hold on. So you actually bring up a good point. How much different is it than actual football, like these simulations? Why is it more random? Well, I would actually argue it's not.
You don't think it's any more random?
No.
What information are you provided that is inputted into the teams?
None. Zero.
None.
But I have
information that is inputted into a game.
Right. So hold on. So it's all computer model. Like modelers will tell you that the point spread is a great equalizer in an actual game. So why is it that crazy, I guess, is why I'm asking.
It's not crazy. I mean, if you're doing it for fun, are you trying to be a professional better by biting simulations? No. I mean, like you said, the juice is higher. I still feel like you're not going to be able to, I mean, unless you've got, what if you have like several outs and you're running around and arbitraging this somehow? I mean, maybe that's different.
That's professional betting. That's smart.
Correct. But can you... I mean, you're a handicapper, right, Doug? You would consider yourself a handicapper. You study the stats.
I don't model at all, yeah.
Yeah, you don't model. So how are you going to handicap a simulation? You don't know what's inputted in there, so you don't have any of the information to use to handicap the odds.
Right, but I'm playing a little devil's advocate here. So sure. The modelers would argue whatever handicap you have is already inputted in the betting line. I'm talking about, like, closing line, things like that, right? So, I think it's just not that you are, but other people are like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. It's actually maybe not that ridiculous as it sounds. Now, because look at it, let's backtrack a little bit, right? We know about the European sort of culture, how it's very sort of a fabric and it's a concession concept, sort of just pure entertainment. And when they spend $50 on a parlay, they don't waste $50 on a parlay, right? It's a source of entertainment, much like just cracking open a couple beers while killing an hour, right?
Sure.
You talk about that with live betting, baseball, you know, betting a half inning here and there if there's a hit or not or a run scored or whatever. Just sort of, segmenting off the entertainment so it's not just a 3.5 hour sweat where you're, to your point earlier, just, you know, betting your entire inheritance. So when it comes down to if it's just entertainment and it's just like you're kicking back and if you trust the betting market. Now, I don't think this betting market is as tight as the regular betting market. That's one thing. So it is funny. Like I've gone on here just researching for the pod and other stuff. Like you'll see conversations, like sort of the chat rooms, if you will, on the Twitch. And I mean, a lot of it's like any sort of stupid stuff. There's chat rooms, but there's people talking like, oh, I simulated this game a bunch. I think this or whatever. Like I know the Rockets are really undervalued in, some of the sims that some of the books are offering. So I know people that think like that. It's just like the Warriors, there was a big line move last week, I think last Thursday, against the Spurs. It went from like 5 to 7.5 because the Warriors are healthy, right, in this game, and they have Wiggins, so the updates are there. So it's next year's kind of Golden State Warriors team, and they blew them out by like 25. So I'm like, how did that happen? So look, if this market were tight, I would say it's really not that different. But to your point, I don't think, at least I don't have an advantage. I don't know how many gamers do. I haven't in my sort of little underworld, and also I know you're plugged in too. I haven't heard any rumblings other than the Rockets are undervalued, but I wonder. I just don't think it's that crazy. Not that you're saying it, but people listening, I don't think it's that ridiculous to like sit back and watch a game for now. I mean, there's people tweeting about how much they're drinking and stuff. Like, you know, why is that different?
No, I completely agree. You know, there was last week or early this week, I believe you guys had it on Daily Wager, the 10 team ping pong parlay.
Right.
And somebody hit, $50 and they won $10,000 or something ridiculous by hitting 10 ping pong matches, took all money line favorites. And I saw some criticism of that, like, oh, you should never do that, this and this and that. Well, should I go buy my 3 cases of beer for my $50? Or should I rent the 2 movies for $50? I didn't, if you're doing it, it doesn't mean you're just being irresponsible because you bet that way. That is what you do very easily. That is just what you like to do. That's what I like to do. I'm a $20 bettor. I like to come home. If I don't have anything to do and there is a game on or something on, I'll read a preview. I'll try to pretend like I'm handicapping it the best I can or whatever. I'll look at the market, and I'll bet it. And, I don't think I have an edge. I probably have never had an edge in my life on betting, but it's fun. It's just a sense of entertainment for me. It keeps me engaged in my work. I don't like it when people say automatically, oh, that guy's being irresponsible or that's ridiculous, because I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, to your point, in terms of responsible, a lot of people have disposable income that they allocate sort of towards this type of entertainment. I mean, I know when I was growing up, one of my friend's parents had like a separate bank account. And I mean, the dad was a financial planner, so he was into the market, so very fiscally competent. But he sort of allocated X amount of money for the family to go to Vegas 3 times a year. And it was just like, he had hotel money in there. He had everything, spending money, dinner money, back when like roller coasters were a thing for the children. And then he would allocate like gambling money. And it was just what they did for entertainment. And it was just like, obviously that's like the perfect sort of approach. But, I think it's fascinating. I'm kind of into all, kind of seeing how all this happens because when sports returns, depending on how long this sort of sequestering goes for the American public, it's not like Vegas is just going to go overnight back to normal. I mean, people are going to be there's unemployment rate still going to be pretty high. Like, we're going to kind of take some time to get back to normalcy. And who knows if the virus returns in the winter or even the fall. And we talked about football and fans. So, like, it's not exactly people aren't going to be running to the spend money on things. So that's what my next question is. And for those kind of new to this space, this is different than esports. So these are simulated games, like we talked about, just like Madden simulating Ravens Steelers and just letting, and then, you know, on the live Twitch sort of feed, you can see them how many minute quarters and whether there's going to be snow or not and all that stuff. It's very kind of above board. But then there's esports, which is a completely different animal that's been around for a while. I should say a while, but it's not 100% new, that I've been fascinated with. And I was listening to a podcast, the Mina Kimes ESPN Daily, with Tyler Erzberger, who covers esports for us at ESPN.com. And he said it's the third most popular kind of thing slash sport in North America behind NFL and NBA. So bigger than baseball and bigger than the NHL. How's the handle on betting? Because for those, again, new at home, these are professional gamers, right? So like humans with controls playing different sports. So there's like League of Legends, which is like kind of 5-on-5, capturing the other team's fortress, kind of like, you know, capture the flag, if you will. And then there's also the regular sports games. So there's professional gamers, like the best gamer playing against other good gamers, but they're playing video games, but you're betting on the gamer, and there's money lines and things like that. So I'm curious how big of a handle there is just in general, whether it be offshore market. And then obviously we might see it sort of come to the forefront as games do not return.
Internationally, there's some decent sized markets on esports for sure. Here in the U.S., it's kind of been esports has kind of been the next big thing for about 3-4 years here. People kept on thinking it was going to take off betting wise, and it hasn't. The handle is very, very minuscule. Right now, it's probably increased because it is the basically one of the only games on the board. But, you know, Nevada just this year, the Counter-Strike game, they approved, allowed books to take wagering on a tournament of that. They had done a League of Legends a couple years ago, and the handle was just nothing. The books just lost interest in trying to do it. There for about 2-3 years, right when the daily fantasy was kind of going up, esports was trying to raise its profile at the same time, and there was talks of, you know, putting esports arenas in casinos in Las Vegas and having live betting take place while these guys are competing in these arenas, and it just never took off. Maybe this is the thing that does take off. This is something that boosts its reputation. I'm sure it does, increases its interest, but to this point, it hasn't.
Yeah, we're approaching the 10-year anniversary, right? It was supposed to be a big sort of Shanghai Stadium this summer, I believe, and a 56,000 arena was going to be like the biggest sort of paid audience in esports history. Obviously, that's been tabled. By the way, I found this interesting. There's still sort of like an effect on this market because of, you know, there could be some shady business. Let's say I'm like the 50th ranked player in the world, and I kind of at home, and I hand my controller to like the best guy, and I'm plus 500 or whatever. So they actually do have referees, and the in-person gaming head-to-head is obviously above board. So they need to like make sure there's no funny business in this quarantine. So I found that interesting. Like you could kind of cheat even on a video game in that regard. But I'm all for it. I'm ashamed to admit, in high school, David, we used to play Madden football for money. And but it's not, you're thinking like, oh, high school, like a buck here and there. It's like, no, we played like a decent amount of money, and then we also played per point. So we did action points.
Wow.
So we didn't set a spread ever because we all were kind of like the same.
Yep.
Now at the end of the night or whatever, the money was like a wash because we were all pretty good and like whatever. But we would play like X amount of dollars per point. So like you're running up the score late and like, or do you just try to take a knee and not get greedy because you might lose the game if you're up 4 or something. So I'm all for this like concept. The question is, to your point, how long is the quarantine and will it take off and will we become familiar? But, I mean, we need our action. And, I want to keep kind of shooting down any, like, this is random. I mean, look, anyone who's watched Bad Beats segment or anyone who's gambled on sports knows that the last couple minutes of all these sports are just a toss-up. So that's what I would argue is like we're you know, I've had a bad beat on some of the simulation stuff, but then again, I had bad beats and ridiculousness in real life. So I'm very curious to see. And then obviously to your point, I'm curious how books embrace if there is a demand.
It will be interesting. Like I said, they kind of lost interest, in my opinion. There was two or three years ago, you know, that they were kind of fired up about it. And like you said, that big one in Shanghai, and then it just kind of dissipated. So I don't think New Jersey is allowing any esports wagering right now. West Virginia did allow DraftKings to take bets on the iNASCAR race last week. And I don't know if you watched any of those. But
no, I did. I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to ask you more details about that.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't watched it, I don't follow the sport real closely, but it's really cool to look. I mean, it looks very, very realistic, and racing games were always some of my favorite video games to play, from Mario Kart to a little more simplistic, obviously, but they were always fun, and they took wagers on them. A lot of people have done daily fantasy contests on these races. I believe they're going to be on every Saturday on Fox for I think 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks they haven't planned out for, but
yeah, I saw a new deal posted. So what is it? Is it like NASCAR drivers playing video games? Like what exactly is it?
So there are the regular, like the pro gamers that are just not NASCAR drivers, but they're pro esports players, and they're in the mix. And then you do get a Kevin Harvick or a Jeff Gordon or somebody in that realm that joins the contest as well and plays. And the announcers do a great job. They're very knowledgeable of the game and talking about all the nuances of it. I believe Troy Aikman comes on there and says some things. And like I said, DraftKings applied to take wagers for it. West Virginia, that was the only state that did allow it. So they did get to do it. Some books tried to offer it in Nevada, and Gaming Control shut that down. The reason I heard was because, that the contestants were not playing in the same area or same venue. So if you had a better internet speed, at some place, you may have had an advantage over a contestant, maybe had a slower internet speed, and that kind of worried Nevada Gaming Control, and they declined to let books take bets on the esports NASCAR.
Okay, that makes sense. So they got to iron out some wrinkles there. But there's potential. Obviously, we had the news with the Tiger Phil, maybe even Peyton Manning, Tom Brady joining. Obviously, golf is sort of like synonymous with gambling. Anybody who's played golf, but there is a natural sort of pairing there in a, you know, fanless world, social distancing as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be great. I think the thing is going to be live on TV. I don't think it's going to be pay-per-view. It's going to be a telethon is the latest reports about it. So it's going to raise a bunch of money for the pandemic relief. What a great event. And they'll be betting on that for sure.
It's new era. You know, every time you look, there's a new thing going on in the world of sports betting. Obviously, scary times for sure. And wanted to just get you on, Dave. And I appreciate your time because, you know, you're plugged in. And it's compelling, and we just don't know what's next. We're all kind of figuring it out. Obviously, we have the NFL draft in a few weeks, at least as of now we do, and that'll be sort of somewhat normalcy that we've had in years past, even though the actual draft process and interviewing will be different, but that'll at least be familiar to our audience and our bettors out there. But I really appreciate your taking the time, David. Obviously, a lot of information to share, and I wanted to get it out there to our listeners.
Thanks for having me on, Doug, and you guys be safe.
Yep, you too.
Kicking is for losers.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks to David Purdom for joining me and sharing his perspective and information. We are all in this together, and we're all figuring this out together, but both of us have obviously talked to some people behind the scenes as we try to learn more and hope that normalcy is restored sooner than later. But it is we are just kind of wait-and-see mode, and Christina, appreciate all the help you did this week, and obviously we're going to have a few more podcasts coming up in the near future, but I also hope that you and your family are safe as well.
We are. Everybody is staying safe over here, so I just hope everybody else is doing the same.
Yeah, and just, you know, everyone, just please, all the well wishes to everyone listening, and hopefully we can provide a little entertainment, a little distraction from the stress that comes with the current situation. But next week we will have more content for the podcast. We have NFL draft props just around the corner later this month. Also, some season win totals in college football being posted from Caesars. So we'll dive into that and whatever else presents itself. And obviously the esports and all the simulation games. A lot of expansion going on in the sportsbook world. So thanks to everyone. Have a safe weekend. Be safe next week. And we'll catch you back here on the Behind the Bets podcast.